Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so wonderful to be here today and having breath and life and the energy of God. We just thank you, Father, that you're getting us ready. And I know that sometimes it takes a knock here and a knock there. And Father, but we're getting ready. And all of us, Lord, myself, I had my knocks and you made sure my focus is on you. So Father, we just pray that you would be with us today and help us, Lord, to understand your word and to see what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Terry, it's so good to see you. And you're going to be all right. Just like me, you had to go through some things, but you know, God is good. So this morning we're going to look at Satan's Eden number 246. I don't know if I'll make it through the whole 26 page. I actually whittled it down this morning kind of from 29 to 26. But I think we might only get through 15 and then have to pick up next week because I already had 19 more pages beyond this 29. So on this subject. Well, we're looking at life manifested, life projected, or the life that is manifested is the life that is projected. So from Satan's Eden, Brother Brown said, your voice, you know what? Your action speaks so loud, it drowns your voice. Let me go to a man and say, well, when he says, we're all Christians. We belong to the church and stripteases hanging all over his office. It wouldn't make no difference what he told me. I know better, and so would you. You know, there's a fella that, I won't even say who he was, but years ago, he had stripteases, I mean, actually not stripteases, he had nudes in his house, and he was a deacon in the church, and I thought, you know, how can you claim to be a Christian and have those things? So, brother or sister, it's terrible, the actions people do in the name of the message. They say, well, God loves me, and I know he loves me, so I can do anything I want to, and you can't do anything you want to. So we belong to church, you know, and striptease is hanging all over his office. It wouldn't make no difference what he's told me. I would know better, and so would you. Let a woman say that she's a Christian with short hair. Well, you know better than that. Yes, sir. Let her say she's a Christian wearing pants, paint, and makeup, and shorts, and says she's a Christian. You know better than that. The Word of God teaches you better than that. The Word says she can't do it and be a Christian. So you've got to just draw the line. Either I'm going to be a Christian or not. You know, when I was playing professional football, I told myself, either I'm going to be the best football player or I'm going to be the best Christian. And I said, that's a no-brainer. I'm going to be the best Christian. And I walked away from that life. Okay, I had two more years of my contract. And you have to make a choice in life, all right? And if you don't, you're stuck, okay? So he says she is dishonorable and everything. How is God going to put a dishonorable thing in his kingdom? Now you got to think about that. How are you going to make it to the kingdom if you've got a worldly mind? You're not going to make it. How is God going to put a dishonorable thing in his kingdom? No, sir, not at all. See, no, sir, themselves. It shows their desires. You can't get a dove to eat with a buzzard. Not at all. A dove don't have any gall. He can't eat that old carrion. If he took a bite of it, it would kill him, and he knows it. But a buzzard can eat most anything he wants to. You see, you can't sit there and look at YouTube and you know, call it, well, it's not TV, but it's YouTube, and that's fine. But you better be watching the right programs on YouTube, because if you're watching some of these things that show nakedness and everything else, you're just feeding on buzzard food. And a dove can't feed on buzzard food, okay? He's got plenty of gall. So then you find out that's the way it is with the world today. Same thing. They're naked, blind, and they don't even know it. They think they're okay. Satan did it by the woman's lust for knowledge and for sex, which she chose by her own choosing. She chose sex, okay? And today you see the women, the way that they're dressed, they chose sex. All right? They're choosing it purposely. They wear these little skirts that come up to their rear ends, and they chose sex. And you can't say, well, no, that's just the fashion of the day. It's not the fashion of the day. Like Brother Branham said, you still have goods and you still have sewing machines. I hope, you know, some of you still got sewing machines, but use them. All right? From Genesis 1:11 says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herbs and seed and fruit yielding fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs and yielded seed after his kind, and the tree yielded fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Now, listen, Jesus himself said, you'll know them by their fruits, okay? So it doesn't come any plainer than that. Even the denominations know that it's by their fruits, and yet they compromise so much. You know, you go to a Baptist church and you see as many tattoos as you see in a Catholic church. In fact, you probably see less in a Catholic church than you see in a Baptist church. And the Pentecostals are by far the worst. And they're the most adulterous, okay? And the closer they get to the truth, the more adulterous they become. Now, Hebrews 1:11 says, God, who at sundry time and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, that word is doxa, and it means the opinions and values and assessments of God, and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, I've got something just to say here, that word person, which says, and Jesus Christ was the express express image of his person. Okay, that word person is hypostasis. Now, when you read Hebrews 11:1, it says, by faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. The word substance is hypostasis. In other words, faith is a person. Okay, faith is a person of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I live by the faith of Jesus Christ. He's not living by his own faith. You're not living by your own faith. Brother Branham didn't live by his own faith. He even said, everything that Paul said, I said, and I'm not saying anything that, other than what Paul had already said. So we're living by Christ. All right. He is the substance and he is the express image of God's person. Being made so much better than the angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, I'm going to get into this inheritance in a few weeks. It's actually number 54, and we're at 46 today. So we'll be getting into this inheritance because I feel that we really need to understand our inheritance better, okay? For unto us, which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now, from Acts 7:28, it says, for in him we live and move and have our being, for we are his offspring. So it's all about him. As soon as you start to think it's about you, you've gone over the deep end. Okay? You're gone. All right? You got to start thinking about him. It's him. It's him. It's him. And am I reflecting him or am I reflecting myself? If I'm reflecting myself, I'm lost. If I'm reflecting him, then I've got a chance. Okay? Now, from the fundamental foundation of faith, and you say, well, what do you mean you got a chance? Well, listen, everybody who claims to believe Malachi 4 thinks they're going to be in the rapture. And yet, everybody who claims to believe Malachi 4 is not going to be in the rapture. There's 2.5 million people who claim the message, okay? And there's, Brother Brown said there may be 500 people. That's 0.002% of 1%. In other words, it's not going to be a lot of people. I mean, 1% of 2.5 million is 25,000 people. It's not going to be 25,000. I got news for you. It's going to be, there was only two that entered in the first Exodus, okay? And then those who were under 20 at the time of Kadesh Barnea, they were considered not to be ready yet, okay? So anyway, they weren't accountable, okay? Now, he says, then unconsciously, from fundamental foundation of faith, then unconsciously your faith is there. You don't have to worry about whether you got faith enough to do this or faith enough to do that. It's just there anyhow. Now, that blows to out of the mind where people say, well, we got to have enough faith to have a rapture. You know, if we don't have enough faith to hang to fix a hangnail on your finger, then, you know, what kind of faith are we going to have? Well, we're going to have it because he said right here, he says, you don't have to worry about whether you got enough faith to do this or faith enough to do that. It's just there anyhow. Why? Because it's Christ. You see, you think it's all about you, and am I going to have enough faith for me to get there? No, but he had enough faith for you to get there. Amen. I'm sure the people at the first resurrection who came up and were seen of many in the city, I'm sure, you know, it wasn't their faith that did it, or they would have been up a long, long time ago. It was the faith of Jesus Christ that did it. All right. You just do it because your father said so. Isn't that wonderful? Just to be obedient kids and not have to worry about anything else. Just, I want to please my father. You don't have to worry about it, okay? You just do it because your father said so. And it's the living word in you, and God's in you, manifesting himself just like he was in Christ. Well, how is that? The Bible tells us in Philippians, it's Christ in you working to will and to do. So you wouldn't even be willing if it wasn't for him in you, willing. You think, well, I was raised this message, I'm going to make it. No, you're not. Just because you're raising the message, you're going to make it because either he wants you to or he doesn't want you to. Either you were in the mind of God before the foundations of the world or you're not. Okay? So you just do it because the Father said so, and it's the word, it's a living word in you, and God's in you, manifesting himself just like he was in Christ. He says, as he was in Christ. Yes, sir. He said, the works that I do, you do also, even more than this, for I go to my Father. Now that's John 14:12. He gave the promise, everyone will believe that was inspired. That's Brother Branham speaking still. Remember, if it's in blue, it's him. If it's in red, it's the Bible, okay? So, a little while and the world will see me no more, but you shall see me. How? You're seeing him in you. All right? For I will be with you even unto the end of the age. Of the apostles? No. I will be with you even to the end of the world. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's with us. All right? Now, from fundamental foundation of faith, he says now, we could throw ourselves completely to God and to his will and be lost in our own thoughts and just let the mind of Christ be in us. Remember last week we spoke of all the scriptures that talks about being in Christ, and we showed you that it's the anointed word. All right? See, he didn't say, you know, that we would be in Jesus, a man. That's impossible. Jesus, when he said that, unless you eat this flesh and drink this blood, you have no life in you. He wasn't talking about eating him physically, as Brother Bram said. It's about Christ, the anointed word. Okay? So Brother Bram is saying, if we could only throw ourselves completely to God and to his will and be lost to our own thoughts and just let the mind of Christ be in us, them same operations of the Spirit would work through us just as natural things do, just the same thing. Because we were first created for that purpose, to control, to rule, to praise God, and to live for God. Now Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Well, how are we going to abide in him? He is the word. All right? In other words, he says, in that day you'll know that I am in the Father. How is that possible? All right? Because he's the word. He's the manifested word. I, the manifested word, am in my Father who is the word. And I in him, and him in me, and you, what's that? The manifested word, are in me. Now the Father and his word is inseparable, because the word is his Son. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God and his word is inseparable. You cannot have God without having his word. And when you have his word, you have God. Now this morning, we'll speak on the thought concerning our coming forth into his image and showing our love for him by the way that we echo and reflect his very life and God love, okay? His God life and God love. People don't understand. They say, well, I got the Spirit as if it's some commodity. When you got the Spirit, you got the life. My words are Spirit and their life, okay? So if you have His Spirit, you have His life. Well, then you also have His nature. So you're going to do what He says. You're going to act like He says. You're going to speak what He says, okay? Now, I believe we're at the point at this end time where we are to come more and more into the harmony with our foreordained image that God had in His mind and projected for to be manifested in this hour. You say, how do you say so? Brother Branham demonstrated. He said, put your hand up here and you'll see a shadow on the wall, but you put your hand closer to the wall and the shadow becomes more and more the same thing that you see in the wall. So the closer and closer we get to our predestinated, preordained condition, the closer and closer we will become, that shadow will become like the image, okay? And it was projected in God, in His mind, in the foundation, before the foundations of the world. He was spoken of. God said this is going to happen. And so we are coming to that time where it actually becomes manifested in this hour. Now, just think of that. We are ordained as sons of God to be projected into manifestation. Think about that. Projected into manifestation. Just as the Scripture declares, the projection of God into the body of His Son, in which that body of the Son became the very expressed image of God to man. For we read in Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Now notice, God's word said Jesus was the expressed image of His person. Now the word express means to set forth, to manifest, or to show. It means to make known, to convey a representation of, to represent. It means to squeeze or press out. It means to send by a special messenger. That's what we've had in this hour. It means in genetics, it means to cause itself to produce an effect. Use of the gene, the gene expressed itself. See, every seed after its kind. If the seed is there, it will manifest the same thing that the seed did. Okay, it will manifest, it will project. It means to manifest the effects of a gene. The people who inherit gene express themselves. To manifest a genetic trait. All in the study expressed the same trait or nature. And it is interesting that in our dictionary, over half the definitions concerning this word express have to do with genetics expressing an inherited trait or nature. See, it's hidden. It's hidden. Whom God has hidden from the foundations of the world, but is now to be expressed in you. All right? Now in Hebrews 1:3, we are told of Jesus in reference to God, His Father, that He is the express image of His person. Jesus is the express image of God, His Father's person. That's why Brother Brand said it's not two persons, it's one person. In other words, it's because it's God expressing Himself through a vessel. Okay? Like Brother Vail said, Jesus was actually God's vessel, but He loaned it to His Son. Now, if I have a picture of a person, it's not the person, right? But it's a picture of the person. It's an image, and Jesus was the image of the Father. Now, this word person that Jesus is the expressed image of speaks of the person of God as Father. In Hebrews 1:1, Paul used the same Greek word, hypostasis, when he said, now faith is a substance, the hypostasis, the person, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is a person, not a person, not a substance, but the substance. All right? Then if you do not have the person, how can you have the faith? You can't have it. You might have Catholic faith, you might have Baptist faith, but you don't have the faith of Jesus Christ, unless you have Jesus Christ. For faith is the person. Faith is the substance that we hope for. In 2 John 9, we read, if you do not have or echo the doctrine of Christ, you do not have or echo God. In fact, in 1 John 5 and verse 12, he says, if you echo the Son, you'll echo life. If you don't echo the Son, you won't echo life, okay? So it's very apparent you have to have the Son there. And therefore God who is the Holy Ghost, is what we hope for. He is the substance of that which we hope for. He is the evidence of that which we do not see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Now, because he is the invisible, immortal King, Jesus was projected from the very mind of God into physical substance as a person in order to reflect the very nature of God to a lost and dying world. Now, think of it. He didn't reflect the nature of Jesus, he reflected the nature of Jesus, the God. Remember, he came in his Father's name. From his sermon identification, Brother Branham said, "But when you seen that his creation had fallen, now his own loving character molded himself into the person of Christ." God's own character of love projected himself into the man, Christ. As Paul speaking here, thinking it not robbery, but making himself equal to God rather. See, his own character molded that kind of a person. Oh, and no one could do that, could ever do that, but God himself, okay? Now, Brother Branham also said, "And sirs, we would see Jesus." Now, Jesus was born for one purpose, and that was for God to manifest himself through that body. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Notice it didn't say God was Christ. And if you read that as God was Christ, you're wrong. You're in error. You see, God is not the anointing itself. I mean, he has the anointing in him, like the Bible says, you know, God is light, he's God is life. But when Brother Brown said when God spoke and said, "Let there be light," he said he projected forth his son, and his son became that light. Okay? He was actually the Logos that came out of God, okay? Now, if I take some blood out of me, you've got the entire me in there. You got DNA. And so when the Logos came out of God, you had the entirety of God in that Logos that God spoke. And his attitude towards man, towards all mankind, he expressed it through Christ. Christ seemed to be a dual personality. He would speak sometimes and they'd scratch their heads and they didn't understand him. He'd speak one thing one time and looked like and something else another time. What it was Jesus speaking and then Christ speaking. Jesus was the man, Christ was the God that was in him. Not me that doeth the works. My Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. See, God will not share his glory with no man. Even Jesus didn't say, "I'm doing these things." He said, "God is doing them through me." All right? That is exactly what the Apostle John said in 1 John 1:1. Was saying that which was from the beginning. Now, so we ask ourselves, what was the beginning? Because that which was from the beginning. Well, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, okay, so we got John matched up with Genesis, and John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Genesis, of course, is that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the Word of life. See, that's John 2. For the life was manifested. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and that which we've heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, and is a conjunction. And Brother Branham said it separates two things, Father and Son. You could have any child that can read, and you ask him to read several of Paul's opening epistles, like the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, "Now, how many are there?" Well, they would say there's one who's God, and he's also Father of Jesus. Okay? So, it's theology that messes people up. They think God is one like your finger is one, and Brother Brown says he's not one like your finger is one. Or they make him into three people, because there's a well, if you're body, soul, and spirit, you're three people. All right? So I'm a triune being. God's a triune being. Okay? Now, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So we saw the literal source of life live itself out among men in the body of his Son. God expressing himself in his Son. Jesus said, "When you see me, you see the Father also." And the oneness will stop right there and they'll say, "Well, you see, He's one because you see him, you see the Father. But the very next verse says, because the Father is in me. You see, most people just saw the flesh, the man. And they said, well, you can't do those things. But the God that was in the man could. Like Brother Vail always said, get your eyes off the man, the vessel, and get your eyes on the God of the vessel. All right? Or the God who's using the vessel. So he says, the Father worketh, and the Son worketh hitherto. And Brother Branham said he had to have a vision. Now, in a sermon, Christ is identified the same. Brother Branham said he was a manifestation of God. He was God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He was expressing what the Father was in himself. Well, how can the Bible then say, because Brother Branham was saying it was God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. That's scripture. But then the Bible says Christ in you. How do you figure? Because it's the anointed word. The anointed word, God was in the anointed word, manifested. And you become the anointed word, manifested. No difference, because you are a son. You're ordained to come forth in his image. Now, you could look at yourself in the mirror and say, wow, I don't know how he's going to do it. Well, listen, God can do anything. And you're looking at a 70-year-old thing that's falling apart instead of looking at the 16 to 20-year-old person that God sees you as, okay? Now, listen, you know, it's so funny, but, you know, we go through life and we see all these changes, you know, and they happen so fast. And yet, to God, it's nothing, because 1,000 years with man, that's a long time, is only a day with God. So, you know, God sees that little germ seed manifest all the way up into adulthood, and he sees it in a day, and we see in 1,000 years. So time goes very slow for us, but it's not with God. He was expressing what the Father was in himself. He said, I always do that which pleases the Father, and we should too. We're sons. And I and my Father are one. The Father dwells in me, and when you see me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus said in John 17:22, he said, Father, I pray that the same glory, the same opinion and values and judgment that you gave me, that made me one with you, I pray that that will be given to your Son, so they also may become one with us as you are with me. So if you think of God in terms of one as your finger is one, there's no way that that can happen. But when you realize that when God expresses himself, his word, through your body, when the anointed word expresses through your body, that's God. That's why I say that's not a child, that's not an adult. That's God doing those things, because no man can do those things except God be in him, okay? He said, I do always that which pleases the Father, and I and the Father are one. The Father dwells in me, and when you see me, you've seen the Father. In other words, he expressed God, the Spirit so much in him that he and the Father, it wasn't robbery for him to be the same person. You see, if I've got an image of the cloud, or let's just say the man, okay, we got the man and we got the anointing upon the man there in that picture. Well, if I got the image of the man, I expect the man to look like that in person, because that's a photo of the man. All right. Now, your image and your theophonic state are coming back together. And the closer you get to it, that foreordained thought of God, the closer your image will resemble what's there until you get your change. And then you are there. Okay? Now, you might think, well, how could two separate beings become one person? How could another person become the other person? How could that be? Well, Brother Bram always taught us, he said, if you have the spirit of Dillinger in you, you will rob banks. If you have the spirit of Beethoven in you, you'll create music. So if you have the spirit of God in you, you'll do the works of God. It's just that simple. I don't know why people make it so difficult to understand that. And I do know why, because they don't have it. If they had it, they wouldn't say it doesn't exist. It only existed in Brother Branham. But if they have it, they'll say, well, I know I've seen it. I've seen where God has taken over. I've seen where God's done things. Okay. Now, because we are three parts, we have three parts to our being, and two parts are supernatural, while the flesh is just a mask or vessel for our spirit and soul to dwell in order to express the life that's in. Therefore, we are born again, and God's very own life is growing up within us. Should not that spirit act out its nature in our flesh? If we have God in spirit in us, His life. See, people don't understand the spirit. Again, as I said before, the spirit is my word is spirit and it's life. So it's the same thing. If you have His spirit, you have His life. You know, I remember years ago talking to a man, and he said, "Well, I just don't understand how Brother Vail has so much word and yet he has so little spirit." And I thought, "Brother, you just don't understand." You know, in fact, the first time I went to stay with Brother Vail, and he said some things, and I went to bed, because I was righteous, you know. And I went to bed, and I said, "Oh, Lord, you know, why is he so crusty?" And the Lord spoke to me and said, "What was it? Which one of my prophets wasn't? Which one of my men of God weren't crusty old creatures? They just had it up to here with it, what they saw, and therefore they said it." So if I say things that you don't like, forgive me, but that's just, I'm a crusty old 72-year-old man going on 73 that just has had it up to here, okay? But should not the very nature of the life that has taken over our vessel project the nature through our own vessel? From his sermon identification, Brother Bram said, "If you were in that day, what group would you be identified with? With the prophet, with the vindicated word, although they were in the minority, or would you be with the popular opinion folks? Well, I tell you, I believe that man's crazy." And the only way that you ever know that he wasn't crazy is for the same God to reveal to you the same thing he'd revealed to Moses. And the only way that I knew that Brother Vail was right was because he was right. And I was wrong. I thought, you know, you had to be, you know, "Lord bless you, my brother, you know, be kind and gentle to everyone." And I realized Jesus went into the temple with a whip. You know, he wasn't kind and gentle, okay? So, and Brother Brown said, the only way that you'd ever know he wasn't crazy is the same God to reveal in you the same thing that he revealed to Moses. Remember, they tried to stone Moses. Why would they try to stone Moses? Wasn't he just a kind old priest? He had the word, and the word is sharp and cutting. It has a two-edged sword. Cuts even to the dividing of the bone and marrow. But the only way that we'll ever be able to be the images of God and the sons of God is for God to reveal to us and express himself through his word to us and to the world. Or in us to the world. That's the only channel. For Christ was the image here on earth that you could see God in a man expressed the image of God, because God was in him so much that they were one. And now when Christ left, he sanctified the church, and the church might take his place and express the word of God. See, that's the only way it can be done. When the church expresses the church, that's Antichrist. When the church has programs that are not in the word, that's Antichrist. When the church has hierarchy that's not expressed in the word, that's Antichrist. Okay? So we want to express the word. The word, the word, the word. We are a word church. Now, would you be with the popular folks who have the popular opinion, as long as I belong to church, and maybe because I dance in the spirit that I'm all right? Hey, I dance in the aisles. That makes me religious. I don't care. You can be as religious as you want to. Religion doesn't save you. The word saves you. But we'll throw out the word, but we'll dance in the aisle and we're okay. No, you're not okay. You're lost. You're lost. Now, maybe because I've spoken with tongues that I'm all right. Or maybe we've got a good pastor and I'm all right. Now, those things are loyal. I have nothing to say against that. That's true. But this plan of salvation is an individual affair with you. I don't care if you sat directly under Brother Branham. That doesn't matter one iota with God. Do you believe what he taught? I don't care the same with Brother Vail. You say, "Well, Brother Vail was my pastor." So what? And most of you are lost because you didn't understand what he taught you from Brother Branham. Brother Vail didn't bring anything new. He brought what Brother Branham brought. William Branham didn't bring anything new. He brought what Paul brought. Paul brought what Jesus brought, okay? So it's a trickle down all the way through. But this plan of salvation is an individual affair with you. Every one of you in here have to have an individual relationship with God. Speaking in tongues is a gift of God, dancing in the Spirit, in the presence and the glory of God. But for you to let your character be molded into the image of God, that He projects Himself and you are His idol walking on the earth, the expressed image of Him. Whew, that's a mouthful. But are you? Or do you have your own things? Like I mentioned last week, are you part God and part man? In other words, are you so much part man that you're still doing the manly things and not the godly things? Now, would you be willing to do that in the days of Noah? Well, just a minute, Noah. You know, you say, come in the ark, but you know, I've got a few things to do. Well, it started raining, you're locked out. Or would you have been on the critical side, criticizing both the prophet of God and his God-sent message? Now think about that. That's our believe the sign guys. You know, they think that they got more vindication than the prophet had. He had more in a little toenail or fingernail than they've got, than they'll ever have. Because they have none. They have none. Which side would you think in your present state now, would you took? Okay, now I'll be honest. So we see here that God wants to project His very life, His very nature into and through our vessels as He did through His own Son's vessel. You see, if you are a son, and this person's a son, and this person's a son, you all have the same DNA in you. Especially if you don't have a mother, you only have a father. Your DNA comes from the father. He had all of it, okay? And that's why we have it by portion. All right. But we're going to express those attributes of the Father. He's full of mercy. Do I have mercy? He's full of grace. Am I showing grace to everyone? You see, we have to look at those things and say, okay, that's what God is now. Am I reflecting that, or am I reflecting the devil that cuts his neighbor down and everything else? So we see that God wants to project His very life, His very nature into our and through our vessels as He did through His own Son's vessel. In fact, Brother Branham said that God had a threefold plan. First, to project Himself through His Son, and then through His other children. And finally, to the place where He can have fellowship with us like He did with Adam back in the Garden of Eden before the fall. And like I said, there's churches that say, well, all that was in God, He poured it into His Son, and now they discard God. And they say all that was in God is in Christ. Then they take their second glass, say all that was in Christ, He poured it all into the church, and now we don't have a father, we don't have a son, it's all in the church. You know what? And they're lost. They're lost. If all that was in the Father is poured into a Son, there's still all that's in the Father. Now, He has the same life, so now there's all that's in the Father was poured into the Son. He has life. Look, what son of man in here? What children? When your father birthed you and you, okay, that's two. We have two in here. We got you two boys are birthed from him. The father doesn't get any smaller, doesn't diminish in any way. As I said in Hungary, I said, I think like David had 500 kids. I said David was probably had a bigger head by the time he had 500 kids than he was when he had one kid. In other words, I was just joking, but the fact is a man doesn't get smaller. You can take a candle and light 100 candles. The candle's not smaller. The light's still there, but it's lit 100 different candles. All right, now those 100 different candles have the same light. Just like Brother Branham said, that's the way the church age, God moves through the church ages like he did in the tabernacle in the wilderness. You know, the first candle got its light from the original, from the pillar of fire. off the altar. Then the pillar of fire, then that first candle lit the second candle. Now it had the same light. Then the second candle lit the third, it had the same light. Third lit the fourth, same light. And all the way through the church ages, the Spirit of God moved and moved on with each child. Just like he was in you, then he was in your grandfather, I mean your father, then your grandfather, all the way back. And so you see that same life that was in going on now, it's a representation, but as a natural configuration of how God does it with us. It's just, God doesn't bypass it now and say, well, I got a miracle. I'm going to bypass the whole family. I'm going to just elect you, you know. God has children, all right, all the way through. As Brother Brown said, you know, you find that you have red, a child has red hair, and you say, well, I don't have red hair, but your grandpa did. You know, so you find that the genes are all the way through. All right. And finally, to the place where he can have fellowship with us like Adam. That's what he's doing today. Christ is the mystery of God, Brother Branham said. Now that's when he can express the preeminence. You see, he's got the man or the person so that he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean? All right. That's secondly, first, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Okay, he did. God completely expressed himself in his son. All right. To have the preeminence by this in his church, which is the body of Christ, okay? That he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. Okay, so God comes down, expresses his life through the firstborn son. Paul called him the firstborn son in a vast family of brothers in Romans 8 and verse 29. So God expressed that life through Jesus. Now Jesus is the example that we follow. All right? That he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. All right. And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin by the first Adam back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, and fellowship with them. And now sin and death had separated them from his presence and in his entire expression. Christ, and from Christ the mystery, he said, first to express himself Christ in Christ, and then he expressed himself through the church, the same thing, Christ was the Word. And the church becomes the Word when it lets go, when it lets the Word go through them. But when they accept the hybrid denomination, how can the Word go through it? In other words, when you settle for a church system instead of the Word, you've polluted the whole thing. You know, they often said, well, oh, Brother Branham was wrong in the Church Age book, you know, they try to say. Well, Brother Branham was wrong because he said there's two books of life. Well, Brother Branham was talking about God. The book of life began with the God, the basically the river of life flowing forth from the throne of God, entered into his son and Eve, because she's part of him. But then as it's going down, the serpent injected another fluid into the book of life, and now you have two books. You have the book of life, the book of the living, and you have the book, the Lamb's book of life, okay? So you've got the God seed gene going down, but now it's in a polluted stream. Remember, Noah was the last man that was genetically perfect. All of us have a mix of some sort, all right? But praise God, we also have the gene of God, and that's the important thing. So he said the church becomes the Word when it lets the Word go through them. And it's grounded. Then it causes a short and blows a few. See, but when the current is flowing freely, the Word of God, it expresses itself. The works that I do shall you do also. And in the last days it shall come to pass, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the hearts, that's the understanding of the children, back to the faith or the revelation of the fathers. And remember, revelation is a manifestation of divine truth. It is not what you know in your mind. It's what you see coming to pass. Because God interprets his word by what he brings to pass. And in there be a time come forth, when he could express himself in the fullness of his Godhead, deity, through his church. Have the preeminence in his church. Oh my, what? The anointed man, now the anointed people, oh my, to bring back the anointed bride and the bridegroom. Anointed by what? Accepting what Eve turned down and Adam, coming back, coming back with the anointing of the Word, because he said, my Word is spirit, see? Anointed with the Word. What Eve turned down, he comes back and we accept. From Shalom, he said, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him. See, in other words, God was identified. The word declared means to express. So the only begotten of the Son, the only begotten Son of the Father expressed him, manifested him, okay? The person of God was identified in the body, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was the expressed image of God, or God expressing himself through an image, see? Through an image, God expressed himself to us, and he was God. Not a third person or even a second person. He was the person God. He was God himself, identifying himself so we could feel him. You see, even the people that say, well, there's just one God, he had a son, and you know, they've got it wrong too. All right? In other words, I know a denomination, and they're the Church of God in Christ, and they're in Atlanta. They have a college there, and they don't believe in a Trinity. They believe one God, and he had a son. But see, they got a misunderstanding, okay? And I think a lot of people who say, well, I believe there's one God, he had a son, and they try to fight and make, well, no, he was a man, he was a man, he was a man, instead of saying, well, he was a man, but he was God. See, and that's what Brother Branham is saying here. He was the expression of God. And if you're so focused on a vessel, you miss the God who's in the vessel. And that's what they do. And that's what the oneness do. They're so focused on the vessel, they don't even see the vessel, they see the God, and that's all. And so they don't they just throw the whole picture out. They don't look at the expression, okay? They just look at the God. Well, that's better, you know, I think, than the other way, where you're just looking at the expression and say, well, there's three gods in one person, you know. So you have to have a balance to know that was, when you see Jesus, you saw God. You saw God. God was in you. You know, how can you miss what God was doing when a man couldn't do those things, but God could? Now, from as I was with Moses, he said, I believe that the Father was in him, that all the great things that was the Father's was given unto his Son, all the great blessings and gifts, for he was just expressed image of the Father, and in him dwelled all the richness of God dwelling in him, looking up. And he said, I am a Father of one, my Father dwelleth in me. Just what Jehovah was Jesus was. In fact, Jehovah, Savior, is what the name Jesus is. Okay, so he was the expressed image of him. He was God shaped out here, and all the powers of God formed into and put in a human body. He said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Now, if you don't understand this, then you're going to think God died for your sins. Well, in a way, he vicariously died for your sins, but God can't die. He's the immortal king. So his son did, so God had to have a plan to bring forth that sacrifice, just like Isaac was a sacrifice. Abraham was a sacrifice. Isaac was a pre-type of what God did for us. Now, from the word, the spoken word is original seed. We see in paragraph 21, 22, what Brother Branham is telling us, that every seed must come forth or express the nature after its kind. And we know he is talking about the Son of God coming forth or being projected as the very image of the Father. But in paragraph 23, he tells us that the Word of God keeps going on and on and on. See, I believe that a lot of people that saw that there's one God, he had a son, didn't see sons. Or they don't see sons because they wouldn't attack each other like they do if they did see sons. But see, that Word keeps going on and on and on and on, okay? As if it tells us that God has other seed also that must come forth and be projected into the same image, reflecting the same nature. From identification, he said, now, therefore, his loving character of love, for us, it makes plain. And then he's quoting John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. God projecting himself and becoming man, that he might have upon him the form of his creation. And from Christ is a mystery, God is not known by education. See, this is the problem, is that too many people, they've got the doctrine in their mind, but they don't have it in their soul. All right? So they're not living it. So the word is not actually in them, the anointed word. The word is, but not the anointed word. You know, the Rhema, not the Logos, okay? God is not known by education. He's not known by how to explain it. God is known by simplicity and of the revelation of Jesus Christ in the most illiterate person. See, it's not your theology. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. No other rocks accepted. No other things accepted. No other Roman rock. No other Protestant rock. No other school. No other nothing. But on the exact revelation of Jesus Christ in the new birth. And what is the word revelation in the English dictionary say? It is a manifestation of divine truth. See, it's a manifestation. Now, God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. That's the manifestation. So when you see the interpretation, you've got the manifestation. You've got the revelation. All right? Now, he, okay, God, born in there and injects all of that and injects his own life. And your life is gone. It's gone. And the life of Christ is projecting itself through you with the preeminences to the people that they see the very life and works and signs and wonders that he did is doing the same thing through you. Not through me. He's already done it through me. Now it's got to come through you. If you have the same life. Outside of that, the rest of it's not even called to at all. And from who is this Melchizedek, Brother Bram spoke of projecting God's life into his son and called it an amorph. And now the Greek word amorph means that he changed his mask. And that's what God did. It's the same God all the time. Not different, but it's a different mask, remember. The same God doing it. Remember the man Brother Bram talked about was in a play in his daughter's school, and he played several parts, so he wore a different mask for each part. That's how Brother Bram explained amorpha. God using a different mask. God using a different vessel, okay? The same God was made flesh and dwelt among us and morphed, brought out so he could be seen, all right? But it's the same God all the time. In the Vine's Greek dictionary tells us the meaning of amorph is the form by which a person or a thing strikes the vision. Think about that. It strikes the vision. In other words, your life projected, your life in manifestation projects the vision that God had in his mind. You see? Brother Bram had to wait for the hat to be on the chair. He had to wait for the manifestation to be so right that he could see that it was projected. What God projected in his mind through vision, he now saw the manifestation. The same thing with your life. Now, I like that because faith is the person, not a person. And Jesus was the exact expression of the person. And the morph is the form by which the person strikes the vision. In other words, when your theophany out here and your body here, which is born in sin, shaped in iniquity, we come forth to world speaking life, but you begin dying out to that, and more of God's word comes in you, you get so close to the theophany that it strikes the vision. And that's when you get your body changed. That is so tremendous when you think about that. So an amorph is in the form by which the person strikes the vision. Now, what does it mean to strike the vision? It's like in the theater. You walk in and you see a big, large, black, blank screen. But when the projector is turned on, when the lights strike the screen, the image is projected on the screen. The image is in the film. But what you're seeing on the screen is when the image that's in there strikes the screen. You see it? When you become so close to what God saw before the foundations of the world, the image is striking the screen. That's so beautiful. All right? Like I said, in a theater. All right? The light strikes the wall and the vision that is in the light, the vision that's in the light. Oh, that's so choice. The vision that's in the light, now there's the Word of God, it strikes a wall projecting to you the very image that was in the light. And if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then you have fellowship, and fellowship is two fellows in the same ship, and you and God are walking hand in hand like Enoch did, walking in the light. And if you are truly walking in the light, then you and he become the self same person. That's what Brother Branham said. Those are his words. His vision through the conduit of his light strikes you and you reflect him. Oh, hallelujah. That's Brother Branham. Then it is no longer, I should have put that in blue. I somehow missed it. But then it is no longer you that is living, but Christ is living in you. That's what Paul said. You are crucified to yourself, but nevertheless you are still living. Yet it is not you that's living, but Christ is living and expressing himself through you. And the life that you are now living in your flesh, you are living by the faith or the revelation, the manifestation of divine truth of the Son of God, whose faith is living itself out in your life for you, in you, and through you. Wow. Colossians 3 and 4 says, when Christ... Oh, this is beautiful. Remember, Christ, the anointed word. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall manifest in his true character, then shall you also appear, or fanaru, or manifest in your true character with him in glory. You used to smoke, you used to drink, you used to do this or that, and you don't do it no more. You just do what Jesus did. When Christ, who is our life, begins to fanaru, your life shall begin to fanner with him. So if we appear when he appears, and we're living in the great appearing of the Lord, if we manifest in our true identity when he manifests it in his true identity in this hour, then he says that we shall appear with him in glory, which is the same, we'll appear with him in the same doxa, the same opinion, same values and judgments that he has. In other words, we are to manifest when he manifests with the same mind that was in Christ. Then if it is the same mind, then it will be the same attitude that he had towards his Father's word. In John 1, 3 and 2, excuse me, 1 John 1, 3 and 2. 1 John 3 and 2. Beloved, now are we sons, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him, this earnest expectation in him, purifies himself even as he is pure. You begin quitting your lying, quitting your cheating, quitting your stealing, quitting your drinking, smoking, whatever. You see, you begin to purify yourself even as he is pure. You see the image, you're going toward the image. Then if we believe when he appears, we are to be like him. Wouldn't that create an atmosphere around us like he had? It did with Brother Branham because he was a yielded and obedient son. Why then are we not seeing the same thing among the churches today? Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Is the power working in you to stop doing those things, to stop grousing, to stop fussing and stop whatever behaviors you got and realize that we're being tried? Like Brother Ram preached a message called a reaction to an action. In other words, God puts forth an action in your life, and if you cuss and swear and everything else, it shows you haven't got it. You're not seeing that this is a trial. Okay. And that word worketh. Okay, where it says, according to the power that worketh in us. That word is translated from the Greek word energio, and it means to display one's activity, to effectually work it and speak of the energies of the one doing the work. In other words, the energy of God is working in you to do a certain action. Okay? So our own predestination comes forth from God's own purpose, being predestinated according to the purpose of him. God's own purpose, in which he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And this word worketh is also the energio of God. And it means to show forth oneself. Therefore, it is the expression of the one who God is doing. It is the expression of the one who is doing the work. It is an effectual, fervent effort on behalf of the one it is directed towards. So you see, then it is not you doing the work at all, but just getting out of the way. As Brother Branham said, my greatest enemy is William Branham. Can you say that too? Because if you can't, you're not saying what he said. My greatest enemy is myself, and my greatest enemy is William Branham, the flesh. All right, I don't worship the flesh. I worship the God that used the flesh. You see? Then it's not you doing the work at all. But like Brother Branham said, what do you think I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for him. Before he comes, I can't do anything. All right? So it's not you doing the work at all, but just getting out of the way and letting Christ live out your life for you. Now you might ask, how can I myself get out of the picture that God can take my life and live it for me? Well, first of all, he is the Word, and he is love. Now Jesus said, my words is spirit and their life. So the life must be governed by the Spirit and all in accordance to God's Word. That is a governing agent or boundaries that we have living in us. In other words, I don't go anywhere beyond the Word. I can only go with the Word. And I think we'll close after one more page here. So is that not God's Word? Is God's Word not our conduit? And as long as the life is living itself out within the conduit of the Word, then we know that it is God's life. Our spirit is governed by the Word. And what governs the Word? Love. For God is love. The Word without love is legalistic. Love without the Word is danger of lust. But God is both the Word and love, and he is the life. So our life, molded by his Word, governed by his Word, Paul said, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Notice Paul tells us again that our faith worketh by love. The word worketh is the Greek word energio, and it means energizes. Our faith is energized by love. If your faith is energized by anything else, it's wrong. I remember Brother Vail, you all know the story. He went to Brother Branham and said, Brother Branham, I just don't have the love that I see that you have. And Brother Branham said, oh, no, that's not right. He said, Brother Lee, he said, do you do things because it's a right to do it as a Christian? He said, yes, all the time. He said, that's love. In other words, the Word guides you. And so your actions express what the Word says. That's love, okay? Now, personal experience with God, Brother Branham said, oh, we say we have faith, we have love. But if we had faith, we'd have love, we'd have faith. For that is, and perfect love casts out fear. And when fear is gone, faith is perfect. Now notice, Paul said that our faith worketh by love. I want you to just close your eyes and just think about that. Our faith, our revelation worketh, it's motivated by love. Therefore, we must first have love in order to bring forth our faith. From wisdom versus faith, Brother Branham says, the disciples had it sowed into them. Then the Spirit come to energize the Word. See? Not by power, not by might, not by wisdom, not by understanding, but not by this, that, or the other, but by my Spirit, I will energize my Word. By my Spirit, says the Lord. It's the water of the Word of faith that energizes the Word of God and makes it work. And finally, 1 Thessalonians 4, or 1 and 3, remember without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Notice it's your work of faith and your labor of love. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord. I know we only got through half of it, but we'll bring it forth next week. But Father, we believe with all our heart that you are in full control. And we know, Lord, that as Brother Brown said, without perfect love, we won't even be there. So, Lord, you don't even look at our works without looking at our love. And if we're doing things out of love, then we have the right motive. If we do not things out of the love for your word, then we're not, our motive is wrong. So, Father, that puts us, makes the difference between the legalist and the person who has compassion in their heart. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to know the difference. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.